turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. We're starting the final chapter after the Gospel of John. We're going to take 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the book of Revelation, all of John's writings. For today, we're going to take John 21, 1 to 14. I'll begin our reading at verse 1. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, the one being called Didymus, which means twin, and Nathanael, the one from Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others from out of his disciples were gathered together. Simon Peter says to them, "I am going out to fish." They say to him, "We also are going with you." They went out and went up into the boat immediately, and in that night they did not catch one thing. And when morning had already come, Jesus stood onto the shore. However, the disciples had not known that it is Jesus. Therefore Jesus says to them, "Children, you do not have any food, do you?" And they answered to him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast or throw the net into the right sides or parts of the boat, and you will find." Therefore they cast or threw the net over, and they were no longer had the strength to draw from the multitude of the fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus had loved says to Peter, "It is the Lord." Therefore Simon Peter, after having heard that it is the Lord, he puts on his outer coat, for he was naked. What that means is that he had his undergarments on, but not his coat. So he puts on his heavy outer coat, and he throws himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the smaller boat, for they were not far from the land, but as it were, about 200 cubits, dragging the net of the fish. Therefore, when they came up onto the land, they see a coal of fire sitting or lying, and fish lying upon it, and bread. Jesus says to them, "Bring from the fish which you now caught." Simon Peter goes up and he draws or drags the net upon the land, full of large fish, about 153. And this being the case, the net was not torn. Jesus says to them, "Come, eat." But no one of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" having known that it is the Lord. Therefore Jesus comes and takes the bread and gives to them, and the fish likewise. This already is the third time that Jesus was manifested to his disciples after having been raised from out of the dead. So as verse 14 tells us, it's the third time now that Jesus manifested himself to his disciples. The word manifested means to appear. So Jesus would appear and disappear, and that's what the word means. In verses 1 and 2, we're going to have the introduction to this section. In verses 3 through 6, the nature of man revealed. Verses 3 through 6. Verses 7 through 13, the nature of God revealed. In verse 14, the summary. Verses 1 and 2, the intro. After these things, after all the things mentioned in John chapter 20, surrounding the resurrection and his initial appearances to Mary and the disciples and Thomas, after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples on the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. First of all, we know from verse 14, this is the third appearance. It was also at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, the Sea of Tiberias is its Roman name. The Jews knew it as the Sea of Galilee or even the Sea of Gennesaret. They're all the same thing. Concerning the sea, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 32, Jesus tells the disciples, after he had been raised from the dead, that he would meet them in Galilee. I've heard a lot of messages just taking John's text and saying they got themselves into trouble because they went somewhere the Lord didn't tell them to go. Well, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 32, it records for us that Jesus told them to go there and he would appear to them. So then he says, and he manifested himself in this way, that there were seven people, Simon Peter and Thomas, who's called Didymus, means the twin, and Nathanael, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others from out of his disciples. Seven people were there at the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. Verse 3 is the beginning of our section of emphasis. Verses 3 through 6, the nature of man revealed. This can also be considered part 2 of our message that we gave last Sunday night. It says that when they were in Galilee, that Simon Peter says, I am going out to fish. God didn't say anything about going fishing. Either they became hungry and waiting, or Peter just became impulsive. Now that Jesus was raised from the dead, he had appeared to them before, but they're waiting. Where is he? What are we going to do for our livelihood? What are we going to do for our provision? Peter says, I am going out to fish. Now, it doesn't matter whether we say, I'm going out to fish, but the word I is very important. Where do we get the permission from the Lord to say, I am going to fish? It's a personal decision, but not one centered around Christ. And the others said, we also are going with you. So they went out and went into the boat immediately, and in that night they did not catch one thing. Experienced fishermen, they know to fish at night. They know the waters. What is interesting about this is just all being set up. As we'll see in the next verse, Jesus will be standing on the shore, but they don't recognize him. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, it says, and it came to pass, as the crowds were pressing in on him to hear him, to hear the word of God, he was standing along the lake or the shore of Gennesaret. It's the same one that we're talking about Tiberias. And he saw two boats that had been standing near the shore. And the fishermen had gone out from them and were mending or washing, taking care of their nets. And Jesus embarked onto one of the boats, whose was Simon. It's kind of interesting because we will see in our story, there will be a definite article making mention of the boats, that this boat belongs to somebody specifically, meaning Peter. So he embarked in one of the boats, and it was Peter's. And so Jesus asked him to put out a little ways from the land. And after he sat down, he taught from out of the boat the crowds. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, cast off out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And when Simon answered, he said to him, Master, I love this because this is the way we get, you know. "Oh Lord, you don't know what you're talking about." Like a contradiction. How do you call him master and say you're not doing things right? Well, that's the way the Lord does sometimes. "Master, we have labored throughout the entire night, and we took not one thing." You fish at night. You don't fish during the day. This is during the daytime, and he's telling Jesus, "We fished all night and didn't catch anything, and now we're going out in the daytime," which means even worse than nothing, because the fish aren't biting. "But," he says, "upon the basis of your word," that's how it literally reads, "upon the basis of your word, I will let down the net." See, even if God's word defies all logic and reason, nevertheless, upon the basis of his word, I will obey. And after he had let down the net, after having doing this, he caught a large multitude of fish. And they were full in the net. And the others, his partners that were with him, who were in the other boat, they came to help them. And they came, and both of the boats were full, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell on his knees before Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord." Notice the reaction. "For he marveled. A fear and marvel was all the way around him and all the ones that were with him over the work, the catch of the fish, which they took. And likewise also James and John, the sons of Zebedee." Now you know who the sons of Zebedee are for our text in John. James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Peter. So they were fishing industry company partners. "And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not fear. From now on, you will catch men.' And having left off from the boat upon the land, having left everything, they followed him." This is the first calling of Simon Peter and James and John. And the first calling of Jesus was from the exercise of fishing. It was their trade. And so he says, Peter says, "We fished all night and we didn't catch anything. Nevertheless, upon the basis of your word, we'll let down the nets." And when he let down the nets, they were so full they couldn't even get them up. All the boats, even the other boats that had his partners in them, they couldn't even bring him on the boat. And the boats were being pulled down so much from the weight of the fish that they were sinking. And that's what caused Peter to fall down before Jesus and say, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And then Jesus gave them the calling. "You used to catch fish. I'm calling you to follow me. From now on, you will catch men." So they left their fishing industry and they followed Jesus. Now that's very interesting in light of our text in John chapter 21, because Luke chapter 5 happened about 3 years prior to this. And now after the resurrection of Jesus, he tells them, "Wait for me in Galilee," and while they're waiting, Peter decides to go fishing. And the others say, "Me too." So they went out fishing, went up into the boat, verse 3, and the word boat has a definite article with it. It is the boat, the particular boat, meaning Simon's. "And in that night, they did not catch one thing," verse 4 of John 21. "Now, when it had already become morning, Jesus stood onto the shore. However, the disciples had not known, that's a perfect tense, meaning this whole time that Jesus was on the shore, is they had not known that it is Jesus. It is important for me to tell you that in all the narratives of the Bible, after Jesus rose from the dead, no one was able to recognize him or see him or know him unless he manifested or revealed himself to them. Remember, Mary was in the garden and she was talking with Jesus. Oh, they took away my Lord. Can you shut the police? Thanks. They have taken away my Lord. And it wasn't until Jesus said, Mary. It wasn't just his voice, because she heard him speak prior to naming her name, but there was something about him calling her by her name, Mary, that at that point she was able to recognize him. Prior to that, she didn't. The Lord revealed himself to the disciples, and even then, Matthew's gospel says that they thought they saw a ghost. They didn't recognize him for being Jesus until Jesus said, "Peace be unto you. It's me." And when he revealed himself to Thomas, when he said, "I will not believe unless I see and I can put my fingers in the marks of his hands and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." But when Jesus appeared in the room, Thomas didn't know who he was until Jesus showed him his hands and his side. And he knew that it was Jesus. On the road to Emmaus, as I alluded to the first hour, two men were on their way to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared from out of the forest walking with them. And he said, "Hey, fellows, why are you so sad?" And they said, "Well, are you new to the area? Let us tell you what they did to Jesus." But it was Jesus. It wasn't until that night, when he was eating with them, that he opened up the scriptures to them and ministered himself to them, and then he opened up their minds so that they could see him and know him. You cannot know Jesus unless he reveals himself to you. With all the knowledge there is about the Lord and the Bible that's out there, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can only come, if the Lord reveals himself to you. That's how I got started. I was in Pensacola, Florida, sitting on a pier, watching the electrical storms take place over the southern states. And it was such an awesome sight that I said, "There's got to be a God." And I said, "God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me." 2 years later, I was saved. I truly meant it. I was sincere. I mean, even in my plea to God, I knew that if God didn't reveal himself to me, I wouldn't even know him. That it would take a revelation from him. So Jesus was standing on the shore, however, they did not know or understand that it was Jesus. Therefore Jesus says to them, "Children, you do not have any food, do you?" Notice how I read it, because this statement in verse 5 carries the word "may," which means that when Jesus asked the question, he expected them to confirm that they didn't. So he wasn't just asking a general question. I would have said, "How do you know that?" Jesus said, "You don't have any food, do you? You don't have anything for food. How do you know that?" They're about 100 yards off from shore, and he's calling out to them. "You do not have any food, do you?" And they answered to him, "No." See, they still don't know it's Jesus. But they've already seen him twice, you know. Now they know what he looks like and should be able to recognize him. But Jesus said to them, cast or throw your net into the right parts of the ship and you will find. Therefore they threw or cast and they were no longer had the strength to draw it from the multitude of the fish. As I shared with you last Sunday night, the Bible makes an emphasis on the nature of man, that without the Lord, we cannot do one thing. In Romans 7:18, even Paul says that there's no good thing that is in his flesh. There's no good thing. Now, there are times when I do some good things for people. I think they're pretty good. But in Romans 7:18, when Paul says there's no good thing in my flesh, the word good is agathos. That has to do with spiritual good. He knows that in his flesh is no spiritual good. Psalm 39:5 says every person at his best state is vanity, empty, nothing, a zero. Isaiah 64:6, Isaiah says, all our righteousness are as filthy rags in his sight. Now here's the biggie that we've been studying on the Monday night class, Romans 14:23. Paul says, everything that is not from out of faith is sin. Nothing wrong with fishing. Nothing wrong with some of the things that we do. Except Romans 14:23 tells us that if it's not from out of faith, we're not under the influence of God leading us to do it, it is sin. Well, that just puts everything right down where the rubber meets the road. Pretty bold statement to make. So me at my best state, if I am not in response and obedient to the Lord and I say, I am going, it's sin. Unless it's under divine guidance and being obedient to Christ. So the Lord's on the shore. They haven't caught anything all night. What does that remind you of? Luke chapter 5, when he first called them. Interesting. This setup is this situation is just a setup of the original in Luke chapter 5. He's now recalling them in the midst of their doubt and confusion. You know, do we go back fishing and that's how we're going to earn our money? Or what's going to happen here? So he tells them where to cast the net. They didn't even have the strength any longer to pull it into the boat. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus had loved, and all through the Gospel of John, we've had it identified for us that this is the Apostle John, the one who's writing this book. If it had been me, I probably would have said, the disciple who is the Lord's favorite, you know, it's interesting, John says, therefore that disciple whom Jesus had loved, he says to Peter, it is the Lord. So the Lord manifests himself, reveals himself in the actual event itself. Because their attention is that we've got so many fish that we don't even have the strength to haul all this in. And we've been fishing all night, and we did what the stranger told us to do, and now we've got all this fish. Who is that stranger anyway? It wasn't by recognition to say, oh, that's the Lord anyway. John saw him revealed, and he tells to Peter. He says to Simon Peter, it is the Lord. Therefore, Simon Peter, after he had heard that it is the Lord, he put on his outer coat. For he was naked, or barely clad, and he threw himself into the sea. Now the other disciples came in a smaller boat. This is probably the dinghy that went with the larger boat that is being weighted down. And they decide to hop in the smaller boat and come ashore. They're not as impetuous as Peter is. They're coming on shore in a smaller boat instead of the big boat that's weighted down. For they were not far from the land, but as it is, 200 cubits. 200 cubits, by the way, a cubit is the distance between the elbow and the end of the little finger. So 200 cubits would be 92 meters or 100 yards. So when all of this conversation is going on between Jesus and the disciples, they're about 100 yards out. They were not far from the shore, but dragging the net of the fish. Therefore, when they came up onto the land, they see the fire coals lying there, and fish lying upon it, and bread. Therefore, Jesus says to them, "Bring from the fish which you now caught." It is interesting how Jesus in his love draws the disciples back into their calling. First of all, there's the revelation of the nature of man. There's man just trying to do it in his own strength. Experienced fisherman. And if God's hand is upon you and you are trying to do something, even though you've been in this business for years and you know how to make a success for yourself, if you go back to doing it and if it's not the Lord's will, he is not going to let it succeed. You can fish all night. Because the human effort of the human nature will fail spiritually. But when the nature of God is revealed, the Lord is revealing to the disciples the very nature of God. He knows where the fish are. He knows how to catch those fish, just like he did in Luke chapter 5. All of a sudden, all this starts coming back to them. Also, the commissioning of the disciples. He says, you have been catching fish, but now you're going to catch people. Again, though, it's depending upon the Lord to show them where the fish or where the people are. Learning to trust the Lord, like they did in Luke 5 in their calling. But I also think it's interesting that if I was going to write a book or a story about Jesus and make it be believable to a world that scoffs at the gospel story, I would have omitted this story where Jesus already had fish fixed and he's going to eat with them. It's like, nah, we've got to reveal God better than that. You know, he's got the meal already cooking. He says, come on over, guys. Verse 11, Simon Peter goes up and he draws the net onto the land full of large fish, 153. Now, Peter must have been a very big, strong man because this is the net that all of the fishermen could barely hold up. And Peter can go and take this net and draw it or drag it up to shore with 153 large fish in it. Very big man. And this being the case, the net was not torn. Should have been. Another miraculous event. Jesus says to them in verse 12, come, eat. And no one of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Having known that it is the Lord. Then why even say it, right? A little bit of doubt there. Well, we know it's the Lord, but we want to make sure, but you know, I don't embarrass myself to saying, it is you, isn't it, Lord? You know. They had known it's the Lord, but not quite sure, but none of them dared to ask if it is the Lord. And it just emphasizes for us again that unless the Lord reveals himself to someone, people can't know him. Even now. Jesus comes, verse 13, and takes the bread and gives to them, and the fish likewise. Jesus not only cooked the breakfast for them, but also served them. And here's how the disciples got back into their calling with the focus on ministering spiritually and fishing for men instead of fish. The gentle way in which Jesus allows us to go through failure because we're doing it on our own effort, and yet he comes along and shows us how it would have been had we trusted in him. Not as a put down, but as an encouragement to say, now next time, you know, now next time, trust me and serve me. Because without him, spiritually, we cannot do one thing. We keep trying. Even in the areas where we don't think the Lord really cares or does, or matters. Oh, it matters. It matters. When I think the lawn needs to be done, I don't mow it, by the way. I won't take all the credit. But when the trim has to be done and I'm obsessed with a finished lawn. But when the Lord tells me, instead of me going by my inclinations, gardening experience, etc., you know, logic and reason, the Lord says, cool it. Rest. Don't do it this week. That's the way it is. Some things we just take for granted because it's so natural that we just, in a natural response in the human, we just do the things that come natural. We don't need to check with the Lord. He's not telling people that they don't have to work. He's showing the disciples, number one, they need to do things under the Lord's direction. Go when the Lord says go. And secondly, when the Lord does say go, completely depend upon him. He knows where the fish are. He knows where the people are. He knows where everything is. So our dependency must be on him. Verse 14, the summary statement, this already is the third time that Jesus was manifested to his disciples after he had been raised from the dead. Next week we enter into that portion of scripture where the Lord restored Peter directly. We have unfinished business with Peter. The last time Peter had denied him, said he wouldn't, he went out and wept bitterly. There has been no direct communication concerning those times and those events. Next week we're going to study when Jesus says, do you love me? Three times. What that all means. Let's close with prayer. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to us. We do have a tendency to function naturally in the flesh, especially in those areas that we are very knowledgeable in. But help us to see that we can go by our human nature and do those things that just come naturally or even logically or reasonably. Whether Peter and the disciples were going because they were hungry or whether they're just tired of waiting and were confused about whether they were going to have to go back fishing because you didn't show up at the time that they thought you should be there. Help us see that your ministry still exposes the nature of man. It's man's nature to say, I am going to do or to go wherever I'm going to go and whatever I'm going to do. But in reality, I should seek the Lord. And how beautiful it is that the Lord restored these disciples to their calling that you gave them 3 years earlier. And how gentle you deal with us to either get us back on track or get our focus straight. Sometimes you do have to deal harshly with us. That's because it's needed. We pray that by your Spirit you would help us to learn and to realize and to know that without you spiritually, we cannot do one thing. Without you, we do not have the ability or the capacity to do one thing. So we pray, Lord, that you would minister to our heart, continue to teach us how much we need to depend on you, and to seek you, and to follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.